You are listening to the What a Word podcast, an interview style podcast where guests bring their unique experiences and insight on culture, life's challenges, and faith. Each episode is seasoned with words which will inspire and encourage. Now here is your host, Ryan Sharp.
I'm so honored that you would join me for another conversation. As you know, weekly conversations with the goal of inspiring and encouraging. And our conversations are available on YouTube and on your favorite podcast app. I'm so inspired by those who, notwithstanding the busy seasons of life, the challenges of life, still take time out to listen to conversations with real people. And your feedback means the world to me. Today, I'm honored to have Annette Smith, and we celebrate with her a recent recipient, successful bar exam applicant, the Florida bar exam, one of the toughest bar exams anywhere in the world. And she's still, as she indicated to me, soaking in, what is now the culmination of years of hard work and her vision for her life. So she joins me today to share about her journey. Please join me in welcoming newly minted bar exam successful recipient Annette Smith to the What a Word podcast. Welcome, Annette, to the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for having me on today.
Most welcome. Most welcome. And I want to just take a moment to soak in what I learned about you in terms of your milestone. Could you share with listeners what you recently accomplished? Now, I may have summarized it, but for you, this is a very special milestone. Please share with listeners what the fuss is all about today as we talk.
Okay. Well, the fuss is all about me not just passing the Florida bar exam, but passing it after taking it 9 times. It was my 9th attempt when I took the Florida bar exam at age 50. I'm not the traditional age student that's going into law school. And when I graduated at age 53, I immediately went into taking the first July admissions exam administration. And I did not pass on that time around, but I continued to take it several times after. And I believe, it was only one exam that I missed from 2017 to 2022 that I did not take. So I took the exam consecutively over and over again, knowing that it was what God had put in me to do. And I know that it was a vision that I received from God that I was going, not only going to law school, but I was going to become an attorney.
That's awesome. And we celebrate that with you, man. And as you've indicated, you're still soaking it in, and take your time with that, you know. savor every moment, man. It's an awesome accomplishment, and I'm so happy for you. Tell listeners why, I'm just going back a little bit, why education was so important to your parents, because obviously your success here is a continuation of their legacy as well.
Yes, it is. My dad and my mom both, my dad stopped school at 14. So he did not continue on into high school. My mom went as far as 11th grade. Although my dad went on to be an entrepreneur, he had a refinishing and upholstery shop that he managed and operated for years from the time I was a kid until the time that he passed away in 1998. So he was able to be successful as an entrepreneur, but the education still was not there. So, of course, he felt that if he had the education, he would have become even more successful, because not knowing how to budget and finances and all these other things that you would get from just learning, not just the trade, but learning the behind the scene of the trade. So they would always tell us, you know, education, get your education, you know, continue to go on as far as you feel you need to, you know, because we could stop and get a trade, but he wanted us to at least get that education. And he would always talk to me about it, even when I stopped from just after high school. Whenever you feel it's ready for you to go back and get your education.
That's awesome. I had a professor who told us once, she says, it doesn't matter which train you get on because there's a local and an express. Just get on the train. And I think for her, she was impressing upon us students that life is indeed a journey, right? Mm-hmm. And with a lot of stops on the way, but the important thing is staying on the train so you can get to your destination, no matter how long it takes. And I'm so proud of the legacy, no doubt, started by your parents, which you are continuing on with as well. Some people, by virtue of having relatives or friends or themselves being law students or past law students, recognize just the difficulty of organizing and taking in all this information and making sense of it. You've indicated that your journey started a little later than the average student. How was your law school experience?
It was awesome. It was awesome because it's something that I thought about for years, that wasn't sure that I was going to ever get to that point. And when I got to law school, I was thinking, you know, as a non-traditional law student, you know, I'm going to be treated like, you know, you're the mom in class and, you know, looked at, upon on that way. But it was everything but that. You know, the students, I had younger students under me. They treated me as their peers. You know, I was able to fellowship with them in different outings. And still, they respected me in that way as well. So all through law school, I was known as Miss Annette, Miss Annette, even though I would tell them, you don't have to call me Miss Annette, but they still gave me that respect. But then yet they still allow me to be as one of them as well. So, you know, I participated in the social things, events and different activities. I even was nominated vice president for the BALSA Association, for the Black Law Student Association. And that was surprising, you know, that it wasn't surprising that I've gotten nominated for it, but even how the overwhelming that they gave me to say, yeah, we want you to be vice president in this organization, even when there were so many younger students that could very well have been in that position. So I felt honored in that way, but I did enjoy the journey of law school and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's awesome. Now, Annette, I believe someone listening or viewing may have some appreciation for what you said earlier and what you just reminded us of, that you actually started law school, what, on or about 50?
50, yes.
50. What I found when I was a law student was that those who had had careers before and were had experienced life, or, you know, were more well-rounded with what life had to offer, so to speak, did better in terms of analysis, etc. They were not lesser students than those who left college and went right in. How was your experience, considering that you had had a number of careers before? Some, in fact, in the law area, did it make law school less challenging for you?
No, I think it didn't make it less challenging because there was still all more to learn. And if for anything, I think at some point, because I came out of being a paralegal, it made it a little more difficult because I was trying to do things the way we did it in, you know, working experience, but it's not done that way in law school. So it's kind of a transition. You had to transition your mind to say, okay, this is the correct way to do it. This is the way we do it in law school. This is the way you do it when you get into a firm. So that was kind of challenging to be able to turn that off and be like, well, if I was doing it this way, this in my job, this is the way I would analyze it. But then it's totally different in law school. So it was a challenge to be able to bring those two together. you know, to bring that experience together with the law school. But I do believe that it did make me more well-rounded, you know, to be able to accept certain things as we're going through law school, because it was hard, you know, where for others, because we had to deal with the hardness as well. You know, I really felt that it just did allow me to be more well-rounded and be able to accept things more, the hard part of law school, because I was dealing with that even in life itself.
Now, by the time you had started law school, you were a wife, a mother, and were you a grandmother as well?
Yes, mm-hmm. Because I have, right now, I have 15 grands.
Wow.
Yes.
How did you balance all the demands of family and life and coursework? Was it a process?
It was a process. You know, I had to, you know, deal with the times where we normally would be doing family vacation or doing something with the grands, where this is not the time that I could do it. So I missed a lot of occasions, you know, a lot of events, that parties going on that I couldn't do it because, you know, I was studying for midterms or studying for my finals. So it was a big difference, even with my husband in the household, because he's a truck driver. And I was also helping run the trucking company, which is our own trucking company. So I had to deal with that as well, you know, keeping the trucking business going while I'm in law school. So it was very difficult to just maintain, but I was able to just do it with the help of my family. My husband is very supportive. So he knew when I couldn't do something now that we normally would do, a vacation, then we had to put it on the back end. So we dealt with it as a family.
So you had a vision where you actually saw yourself walking across the stage with your law degree, a clear vision that law school was what you should be doing. Was the confirmation once you started law school always positive? Did you always get confirmation that this was the right direction? Or were there moments when you had to ask, man, did I do the right thing here?
There were moments that I did ask that, but each time that I did, because the vision was so clear to me when I received it, this vision I received, it was when I was going to get my associate's degree to become a paralegal. And I received that vision of me walking across the stage accepting a law degree. At that time, I wasn't even thinking about going that far. So but it was so clear that once I got into law school, that that vision would always come back to me. So even the times when I doubted myself, or when I doubted whether I'm doing the right thing, or can I continue on in this path, I knew that vision had came from God. And along the way, I received other confirmations, you know, that law school was where I'm supposed to be going. And that's even receiving it from an attorney, you know, before I even went to get my bachelor's degree to go to law school, I received confirmation from an attorney when I was doing a pro se case. I was actually litigating a pro se case for my husband and I, trucking company. And when I was in court, after finishing my cross-examination, the attorney for the opposing side came over to me and offered to settle the claim before the jury come back. And he told me afterwards, he said, you did such a good job. Have you ever thought about going to law school? And that was another confirmation for me that law school was in my path. And the very next day I got home from North Carolina, went to Charleston, and I enrolled in College of Charleston and started my bachelor's on the path for my bachelor's degree, because I believe that confirmation was so strong that it was time for me to get on that path and to go to law school. So I do believe in confirmations.
It's a powerful, powerful story. So clearly you had some experience in the working world and some volunteer work I'm aware of as well. Mm-hmm. What was law school going to do in terms of your passion?
My passion became stronger and knowing that it was the legal area that I needed to go into, because my husband has bipolar disorder. So for years, I would be advocating for him in different areas with the hospitals and other areas for his mental illness. So after doing that, even not for him, it would be others who would come to me and ask me to help them find this information, help them to be able to do this. What do they need to do to get get this thing done for their child or their husband or their sister or brother? So that advocacy became so strong as passion to me that I knew that if I would be able to get a law degree, I would be able to go further in that area. So that's the reason why I wanted to get my law degree, so that when I'm dealing with and helping people and advocating for people with any type of disability, whether it's mental illness or anyone, I would be able to have that degree behind me to be able to say I can go further and not just be on the outside looking in.
And so what's interesting about what you said is it sounds to me like compassion, empathy, and advocacy inspired you to want to go to law school. But I'm sure along the way, you ran into some law students and some attorneys who did not have those attributes. How did that, how did you reconcile those issues?
I've worked in personal injury. So, you know, and I'm sure that was one of the fields that you don't see that as much. But I was fortunate to be able to work with the attorneys and even that area that did show that, even though, you know, people think otherwise, for personal injury attorney. But I just continue to stay faithful and stay close to what I believe. You know, no matter what I see someone else doing, I would always let them know that's not something that I'm willing to do, you know, and that's not an area I'm willing to go to walk in, you know, because I know you can get lost in that area. You know, you're looking at, you know, the money, people want to make the money when they come out of law school, but I believe in my passion above it, and I know that that will come along as well. So I just stay true to my faith and just believe that those around me will see it and respect me for it.
Powerful. I want to take you now, Annette, to the exam itself. And I'll ask you to explain to listeners and viewers why the exam itself is important, because for many people, okay, you've gone to law school, why don't you just practice now, open your own practice or join with a firm or join with an entity and start doing the work. Why is the bar exam for the uninitiated? Why is the bar exam necessary?
Well, because that's the only way I'm going to get admitted to Florida to be able to practice law in Florida, which I could have taken other exams and be admitted to other states, the UBE, if you know about the Uniform Bar Examination, and then try to be admitted to another state and just work as maybe general counsel. But I needed to be Florida barred because I live in Florida, and it was necessary for me to take that exam to be able to get admitted to Florida so that I can be able to help those here in Florida, in my community. And I wanted to be able to do that with a Florida bar license and not just coming from any other state.
Awesome. So your journey now comes together, and your story highlights what we've learned recently. Successful at the Florida bar exam, recent post, and you've indicated as well that it was not an easy task for you. Could you walk listeners through your journey as a graduate law student trying to get over this hurdle so you could become a licensed practitioner?
Yeah, it was a journey, you know, administration after administration, taking it in July. You know, I still have to deal with the obstacles and going through in my life. You know, my husband supported me the whole way. He was the breadwinner of the family, allowed me to be able to just work from home while I'm taking this exam. But so that took time away from my family. It took time away from, you know, like I told you before, events that I missed that I wasn't able to do. And then to be studying nights after night and then come to the bar exam and then hear the results come out and to hear that you didn't pass, it took a toll on the family. You know, it took a toll on myself and my family, but yet to be able to have that support behind me and to continue to go through that. And each time it was like very hard to get back up to just say, okay, I'm going to do this again. But, you know, like I told you, my faith is so strong and I believe that it was something that I was supposed to do. And my purpose was to be able to get this bar license. So I kept on going. But of course, without obstacles, there was no time without obstacles. You know, whether it was finances, whether it was my husband helping him through his issues, situations with my daughter got sick this last bar exam cycle. My daughter got sick, who she's my oldest. And she's the one I had as a teen mom. And she's never been sick for 40 something years, never been sick. She got sick right at the start of bar cycle in November of 2021. And she lives in Atlanta. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. My husband and I went there to be with her and ended up being there for 4 months because she was so sick. The doctors didn't even know what was wrong with her. Till this day, there's no diagnosis what went on with her, but she's doing much better now. So I know the enemy was fighting me all along for this last bar cycle because that's not what the enemy wanted to happen, you know, because this was the hardest. This was definitely the hardest night after night, having to care for my daughter and being away from home for 4 months. My husband and I, trucking company was not running for 4 months. Thank grace to God that we were able to still sustain, you know, financially while we go through that. But I was not going to leave her side. I was not going to be able to come home, study for this exam and still know my daughter was sick. So, you know, grace be to God that he held me up that time because the enemy fought us the whole way. But this time I knew this was going to be the time because of all the adversary coming against me. I knew this was going to be the time. And through it all, when I got to the end, right before getting ready to go to take the bar exam, we found out what was going on with my daughter. And she started getting better, you know? And so I was like, God, I know this was you. I know you allowed me to go through this to see how strong I could be to overcome it. And that's why I said to anyone, I don't care what you're going through, you can overcome it. If you know that that's your purpose, keep on pushing, because the harder you push, the harder the enemy going to push. But the sooner you get, the closer you get to that, your destiny is going to be a very hard struggle. So just keep on pushing. Just keep on going and know that your struggles is going to come out victorious if you keep on. There's nothing you can do if you stop. It's over if you stop. So you have to keep on. And I knew that this was going to be the time because the enemy was coming at me too hard. And I knew this was my time. This was my season. Because he was trying to stop me at this very last point. And he used my daughter for that because, like I said, she's never sick. She's never sick. She's never asking for any help or anything. So he know that if he go after her, then maybe I can get her to stop. But I just thank God, Ryan, that I was able to have the support and the family and the love and my bar coach. Oh my God, my bar coach, she was amazing. You know, she was there praying with me every step of the way.
So there's something that an excellent testimony, by the way, what individuals are seeing now. This is not overnight for you. You mentioned being a teen mom and no doubt having other challenges in terms of your family dynamics to the point now where you are now giving to the world via this podcast or via your post, the struggles along with the triumphs. And you've just said that when it seemed things were getting most difficult, you knew that there was going to be a spiritual opening or an answer because of how intense things were. How did you manage to maintain your faith and resolve with all you had been through up to this point?
I would have to say it's prayer. It's prayer, the prayers with my family, just continue to pray with us. You know, I had, you know, people around me. My circle was just so strong with prayerful people. And I have to give it all to God to say that it was the prayers of the righteous. because, you know, I know without that, without that faith and without the prayers, I would not have made it. And that's the way I personally feel.
Annette, I'm going to ask you to say something to someone who is probably dealing with their journey a little more privately. They may be taking a course or some exams that nobody knows about because of the deferred, you know, or the delayed. The dreams are delayed. And it's they've probably even put the books away. Because after all, maybe someone even spoke into their life and told them that, you know, you see all these delays or the challenges, God is trying to tell you something. Because people who hear from God have a way of speaking into people's lives when God hasn't told them anything. What would you say? what would you say? Say something to that person who is in that season now where, man, you know, passing this exam or accomplishing this degree or getting this license, getting this certification could do so much for my life, but I can't see an answer. And if I haven't given up already, I'm about to give up.
I would say just don't give up. If this is something that you really believe that God has you on the path for, you have to keep pushing on, because that's when you give up, there's nothing else to do. There's nothing else for you to do, because it's easy to give up. It's easy to just say, I'm going to stop. Easy is always, always. I mean, anything is easy to do when you don't want to do it. So I would say, do not give up. You have to know that if this is what God has for you, the word of God tells us that in Jeremiah 29 and 11, that God, he has a plan. And he knows the plan that he has for our life. And it's for us to have an expected and the expected and is victory. So if you believe that this is the path that God put you on, whatever you need to do, you do. The last thing you need to do is to give up on it. Find a way, pray about it, ask God to help you find a way to keep on pushing through it. And the doors will open. I always say when I pray for things, I always pray that God, if this is the door that you would have me to go into, open that door. If it's not, then I ask you to close it, because the one thing you do not want to do is to push open a door that God has closed. But I read in my Bible a long time ago, if prayer and praise do not open that door, then that's a door closed by God, and you do not want to push through it. Otherwise, if you see things opening up every time you stay in prayer and praise, then keep pushing through, because God has something for you on the other end. But if you give up, there's nothing else you can, there's nothing there. So the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. Your faith is you getting out there and continuing to do it, because no one is going to be able to do it for you. The only person who could kill your dream for you is yourself. You know, other people may say, they can say what they want to say, but the only person who can kill that dream for you is you. So if you stop, then there's nothing else anybody else have to say to kill it. So I say to you, keep pressing on, find the strength, but first know that this is a door that God wants you to go through, that God has something for you, and then keep pressing on.
And then I want to take you to that moment, because I think every bar applicant envisions the moment when they get the confirmation that they have passed. What was that moment like for you? Was it all that you thought it would be, or was it even more than that?
It was even more than that. I actually, every other time that I took the bar exam, and when I got my results, I was with someone. I was always with someone, a family member who wanted to see me open it. And when I opened it, it was, you know, not what I expected. And this time around, like I said, I just felt in my spirit that this was the time. But I wanted to be alone when I opened it. So I was alone in the room by myself. My husband had just fixed me breakfast in bed. He brought it to me in bed. And I knew that the results were out, but I decided I'm not going to open it until I finish eating my breakfast. I ate my breakfast, and everyone was like, how could you do that? I would have had to open it right then. But I ate my breakfast. I stood there and I opened the opened the results up. And when I saw it, all I could do is cry and start praising God. I cried and I started praising God. And then I went into the front and told my husband. He said, the look on your face was just speechless. I knew what you was going to tell me, because it was just so much. It was so glorifying, you know, that I was like, I'm finally at that point. I'm finally realizing that vision has come completely to pass, because just the vision of me walking across accepting my law degree was just one part of it. And I knew that, God, you didn't show me that vision just to accept my law degree. This point right here had to come to pass. So I was so floored that vision had finally came to the expected end that I was asking God for. So I was more so in tears than anything. I wasn't like screaming and jumping for joy. I was just praising God on my knees, crying that this has happened. It finally happened.
That's awesome. Annette, if you could, for us, just encapsulate what the journey in terms of different institutions were in terms of education, with the start and stops from high school to the present.
Okay. High school, of course. I graduated high school in Charleston, South Carolina, Fort Johnson High School. I didn't, you know, go into college right away because I was raising my daughter. I actually moved out to California and stayed out there for 10 years. And then that's when I came back to Charleston, South Carolina. I didn't start going to get my associate degree until I was working full time on a job. I was working as an administrative assistant to the fire chief in Charleston, South Carolina. And I decided, okay, I did this for 8 years. It's time for me to move on to go and to get my paralegal degree, because I knew I wanted to go in the field of law. So I did. I went and got my associate's degree at Trident Tech in Charleston. I actually graduated there the same year my second child graduated high school. I was going to school at night, working full time and going to school at night and getting out of school 10, 11 o'clock at night, coming home, doing the same thing over and over again. And then after I decided to say I'm going to go on this path to go to law school, that's when I went into the College of Charleston, surprised that I got accepted there as well, being a non-traditional student. And God opened that door for me to get accepted to College of Charleston. So I went there. And of course, I had to start working again. So I had to back off going into school and start going to online school. And I ended up getting my bachelor's degree through Strayer University. And at this point, I was working full time, still didn't see the possibility of going to law school. Finances wasn't there. I couldn't see not working, not being stable, keeping a job with me and my husband working together. So I kept putting it off. And that finally, I was like, you know what? Maybe law school is not for me. Let me go ahead and get my master's. So I got my bachelor's, went ahead and got my master's degree. and then that's when God moved me to Atlanta. And that's when the doors opened for me to end up going to get into law school. And I was able to get into law school when I was living in Atlanta after being sick. I had to move to my daughter, the same daughter who lives in Atlanta. She took care of me for 2 years. So because I got sick, I had to leave my job that I was on for 5 years as a paralegal, moved to Atlanta. My daughter took care of me for 2 years. And then that's when the doors opened for me to get into Florida Coastal Law School in Jacksonville. And I came to Florida, and that's where it all started for me for law school.
So listeners and viewers, you've just heard, sometimes the journey isn't a straight one, filled with doors, you know, stops along the way, unexpected twists and turns. But Annette was committed and was convicted that there was more, and kept pushing, and her faith is now being rewarded publicly. And we thank you so much for your willingness to share that it was not an easy journey, you had to do this exam a number of times, but now you have such a powerful testimony, and I'm sure those who are listening and viewing who are similarly situated can take encouragement that if it was done for Annette, it can also be done for them. Any closing words for listeners and viewers?
No, Brian, I could not leave this podcast without also, I know I always give thanks to God first, but I do want to thank my bar coach after I was with the bar coach from the third attempt to the seventh attempt. And then God led me to Agape Bar, Christian Bar Prep. And that's under the leadership of Tisha Durham. And I would have to just give thanks to her, because that bar program is what really got me over. Because not only was it a bar program that gave me what I needed academically to pass this exam, the spiritual part of it is what really did, because it was a mindset thing for me. And I realized when I got to her program that that's what was holding me back a lot too, the mindset. And being in a spiritual program that helped you to pray through it, figure out what's going on with you, with mind, in your mind, to have that growth mindset, to be able to develop a growth mindset, is what I have to give her that recognition, because that program really helped me to go through this. Not only was she a bar coach for me, she prayed me through it as well, prayed each and every student through it. She was there for me when I was with my daughter in Atlanta, praying about it and making sure that my spiritual growth was still there. So I give that program honors, because the program I was before, I was told that I would never be able to make up the points that I needed to pass Florida. I was told that because my points was not high enough, that I may need to try UBE, because to pass Florida, I need to be able to get my scores up more. And I, with my scores, I would never be able to do it. When I got to Tisha at Agape, she told me, even after I failed the first time with her, she said, try it one more time. And by her telling me to try it one more time, it encouraged me that I could do it. And she had the faith in me that I could do it. And I just have to just give thanks to her program, because that really is what helped me to get over this time.
That's awesome. And with your permission, I'll put ways for people to get in touch with the Agape Bar Study course. You just give me the full name, I'll put it in the notes. And
it's Agape Christian Bar Prep.
Agape Christian Bar Prep, for sure. Thank you so much for your transparency, your testimony, your journey, which you're now sharing with others everywhere. No doubt someone listening has been encouraged and inspired, as you've said, to give it one more chance, to not give up, to keep pushing. And with prayer and praise, a door will open, and you'll be celebrating. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Ryan.
Us on the Waterward.
If I could just say one last thing too, no matter to those who are taking it, if you're not a Christian, if you are, but for me, you have to put God first, because at the end of the day, this is still just a test. It's still just a test that we are taking. It could be a test for a board exam. It could be any type of test that, you know, it don't have to be taking a test to becoming a lawyer, but anything you go through life, it's all just a test. So at the end of the day, you have to put God first. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to the rest of your journey. And
thank you. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate you. And God bless you. Have a blessed evening.
Most welcome. Blessings to you and your family as well.
Okay.